right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today. Excited about being in God's house. I do want to recognize a God that raises the dead today. Because many of you know that my dad actually was raised back to life. God's faithful. I know a lot of people are praying, and he still does that today. He's the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
There's no death in him, and so we just praise God for that today, and I'm thankful that he's here today to be part of what's happening here. We do want to let you know, too, I know I had a little snafu in one of the new songs today. The L's got in the system this morning, and so we had some issues, and so that's why the notes are not going to be up here today. But if you do follow us on YouVersion, you can download the events app, and the notes are up there. And we're in a technological age, so everybody should be on there. You can do that today and follow along the notes, add your own notes, et cetera, et cetera. So we are in the middle of 1 Corinthians. We're actually on the tail end of the last several weeks, really talking about what Paul is trying to help the church identify what are wrong practices and helping them alleviate what they were having a problem with was culture infiltrating the church and not really knowing how to really keep Jesus at the center. And as a father, he was trying to help raise up kids because this was a new church, newly birthed, that were having issues with separating being in the world but not being of the world. And so Paul, as a good father, was trying to help them and say, hey guys, listen, it's time to follow Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. And let's really put our focus upon him and find out really what he's called us to do. And whether you really like the way Paul addressed people or not is not the issue because he was very harsh at times, but his heart was right. His heart was right. And so God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament, and we're still following what he wrote today as really guidelines for the way the church should operate. And so today we're talking about the body of Christ, and you see a skeleton on the stage, and it's there for a reason, just as a visual, so that you can understand that you are the body of Christ, that God has placed you in the body for a reason, not just a physical church, but also you are in the body of Jesus Christ. You've been placed in the body. And so you no longer live by your own self or by your own faith, but you now live by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible talks about. And so we're going to read some scripture today. It's a little bit more than normal, but I think it's important so that you can grasp it and so that we can do a little bit of teaching today. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're starting in verse 4. And it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so understand this, that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit, which we're not going to go into today. We'll go into it at a later date. But we've heard about the gifts of the Spirit, and really the gifts of the Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. There are more gifts that are listed in Romans 12, and there are other gifts, the fivefold, that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4. And so if you're looking and trying to find out where are my gifts, you can look at those three chapters, and you can get an overview of what the gifts are like. And I just want to say this about gifts. Everyone is gifted in one way or another. You have been given talents and abilities, and God has expects you to use those.
Yeah.
If you are standing on the sideline because you are concerned about what someone else is going to say about you, that is your issue, that is not God's issue. Because God has placed that inside of you and he expects you to use those. If you don't use where you're gifted, the body suffers. And I think sometimes we can have a false ideology or a false humility that says, well, I don't want to use my gifts because I don't want to be puffed up. I want you to reverse that and say, if I don't use my gifts, the body is not as strong as it needs to be.
Yeah, that's good.
God understands and knows how to keep you humble. So if you're worried about, well, my gift is going to supersede me, you don't have to worry about that because God will send people in your life to keep you humble. And he knows how to allow that thorn in your flesh to be there to keep you where you need to be. Amen?
Yeah.
But don't let that fear stop you from using your gifts. If I were to do that, I wouldn't be up here today. And so that's just a gift. There's a certain confidence that you need to have in what God has given you. But also at the same time, there's a certain humility that you need to have to know that it came from God. And so when he is doling out gifts, the Bible says, and especially 1 Corinthians 12, it says, as he wills, as the Spirit of God wills. You don't get to choose what your gifts are. You don't get to choose how you look. You don't get to choose where you were born. That was all foreordained and predestined before you entered into the world. And so if you have an issue of where you were born, that's where you were born, okay? And so God had it all planned out beforehand, and so we can just rejoice. I think it would just be better for you just accept the fact that you are who you are.
Yeah.
And not try to hide it, and not try to deny it, and just accept it. I'm from New York. I love the New York Yankees. Okay, I have a beautiful wife. Okay, there are certain skill sets that I have. I love to work. You just got to accept yourself. Really, and that's where the battle lies in. If you can just accept yourself and love yourself for the way God made you, you would just catapult to where God wants to place you in the body, because you wouldn't apologize for who you are. You are who you are. And so today, understand that. And hopefully that God will give you that understanding to know that I didn't want anyone else. I wanted you the way you are. I wanted you. And so I'm going to place you in the body and put you where I need to put you. And I'm going to give you the gifts that you need, as you will. And so you can covet. The Bible says not to covet, but you can see someone else's gift and say, okay, God, I want to do what they do. Nothing wrong with saying you want to do what they do. Nothing wrong. But understand that the Holy Spirit gives the gift as he wills. Case in point, the Bible talks about 1 Corinthians 12 that he gives word of wisdom and he gives word of knowledge. Those are supernatural gifts that God gives by his Spirit to help someone really get enlightened about their future, which is the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge is about their past and their present. Okay? And so that is something supernatural that the Holy Spirit will give someone. It doesn't mean that he can give it over to my mom, but he also can give it to Sharon at the same time. And they can both flow in those gifts at different times. Okay? It's okay to be able to see someone speaking and say, man, I would love to do what they do. And maybe God has placed that inside of you. And I would go so far as to say is that sometimes when you see somebody doing something and it sparks something in you, guess what? God says, that's something also I've given you. You just don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. Gifts are released in seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't get them all at once.
That's true.
Jesus Christ in his fullness is already inside of you. But gifts are released in seasons because different season requires different gifts. You are at a different place in different seasons. So what you had last season may not get you through this season. And God says, that's why the Bible talks about going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Every now and then God will release something else in you and says, I got more for you. Yeah. That's why the idea of you settling is a travesty in your life. The idea of you quitting and getting to a certain point and saying, I can't do anything anymore, is a travesty in God's eyes. Because number one, God is unlimited and he's limitless. And that when you talk about life, he is a resurrection of the life. We look at men and women of the Bible, when the Bible says that Moses was 80 years old and the light had not gone out from his eye. He was so fired up for God. And that you could go out in a blaze of glory and you can go out excited and not go out, well, that's just it. I don't believe it. I believe that God has great things in store for you ahead, and he wants to help transform your mindset of what that looks like. I don't care if you're 60, 70, or 80 years old, it doesn't really matter. What God do you have for me now? You know, you've been around the certain people that God has allowed you to see. There's something about them. Age is not a thing for them. They just have something about God. They're on a treadmill at 70, man, just blazing. At 7 years old, they're trying to just make it. They got goals in their mind. They're excited about life. That's how God designed it. The world says, well, I'm on the downslide after 40. God said, what are you talking about? We're coming into this thing, and we're going to go out strong. Why do we have to be like the world says we have to be? Because what happens is that when you start thinking like the world thinks, you start doing like the world does.
That's true.
And instead of going from faith to faith and glory to glory, you start looking at circumstances, you start looking at your body, you start looking at what you have and say, I can't do it. And you forget that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, regardless of how weak you think you are. Because in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. And so that's why age isn't a thing to God. To us, it's a thing. In different seasons, you may not be able to do certain things, but that doesn't mean that it's over. It means that God wants to do something creative and something else in your life. God can do something creative at 50, at 60. God's not limited by that stuff. It's your mind. I know people who are sharp in their 70s and 80s. Voice, yeah. So don't think that just because I'm at a certain age, that that's it. But have an understanding that if I'm in the body, then God still has something for me in the body.
Yeah.
I'm in the body. I woke up today, God has something for me to do today. If he didn't want me to wake up, guess what? I'd be in heaven right now. But I'm up, and I'm here, and I'm in the battle, and I'm winning, and I'm facing stuff because God has different things he wants me to do. And as I begin to face battles and different things, God gives me the grace to face those things. It's not until you're in a difficult situation sometimes that God releases gifts also. Mm-hmm. Because you don't see how creative or innovative you are until you come up against a problem. You're asking God for creativity and innovation, and God says, okay, here's a problem. I want you to figure it out. Well, God, that's not the way it works. Well, okay. Well, how does it work? Unless you see it, you're not going to believe it. God can do it like this, but God says, I'm not going to do it like this. We're in partnership together. I want you to throw your wisdom. I want you to throw your creativity at it. I want you to dig deeper and find out a solution to that problem. You are at your work for a reason. Find out a solution to the problem at work, because that solution may be the very thing that's going to give you your promotion.
That's good.
Well, God's not going to do it. Why can't God do it? God can give you the thing that that job needs in order to lift it off the ground and become a Fortune 500 company. And guess who he wants to use? You. But we have to be open to it. If you're the body of Christ, and we live now by the faith that we have in the Son of God, and that he has endowed us with gifts, and his presence by his Spirit is inside of us, then why can God use you to do incredible supernatural things that are out of your pay grade or above your mind's capability to understand it? Why can't God do it? God's not limited by your frail mind. He's not limited by your small thinking. God's already outside your small thinking. And so if we can get to think like he thinks, then we can do, guess what, like he does. Yeah. I'm not saying that we're God, but I'm saying that there are certain things that God wants to take us to and through, that if we're not careful, that we can actually stifle the move of God in our life just because of our own mindset and getting in our own way. We get in the way. Well, God wants to do it. Yeah, he does want to do it. But what he's looking for, we got to catch up sometimes. We got to catch up. Anybody feel like they're catching up a little bit? It's like, I feel like God's like way out here, and I'm back here. And so he's given us gifts. Everybody say, I'm gifted.
I'm gifted.
All right, good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 14. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 26 and 27. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He said, I placed everything the way it's supposed to be. The skeleton is the way it's supposed to be. The hands are the way they're supposed to be. The eyes are the way they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be in the head. The head is at the top. The head is the thing that turns it. Okay, and so think about your body right now, just how creative and what a miracle it actually is. If one thing in your body suffers, it alters your balance and the effectiveness of the other parts of your body. It could be something as your toe is not working right, you stubbed it, guess what? You start favoring that thing, and it causes now you to lean a certain way, now you have pain in another part of your body, and it's not until that other toe gets dealt with that your body actually comes back into alignment. You know what it means. When something so small as that is out of alignment, you are out of alignment. You're out of alignment. And I would venture to say that when we were born, listen, have you ever seen birth as a miracle in itself? And by God's grace, most of us came out healthy. But as we begin to grow, sometimes things come into our lives that are not in our control. We get wounded, we get damaged, and we mess up our gait. We start to walk a little bit differently. Not because it was necessarily part of God's design that he wanted it to happen, but we know there are certain things in our life. And let's just be honest. Real talk here. God is a sovereign God. Everything that has happened in your life, God has allowed. Let us bypass this spirituality that says, well, God does not allow bad things to happen to people. Okay, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God is sovereign even over the difficult situations and things in your life. Even in your frailties, your woundedness, your inhibitions, the things that you have dealt with, God is sovereign. It is hard to hear that sometimes. But once you begin to understand the love of God for you, you can understand that God is still good above that. And that God will use that for his glory. I thank God for the fact of the things that I went through in my life. I have gotten past the point where I'm upset at that stuff. Because there was nothing I could do to control it. By nature, We have a tendency to want to sin. So we know when we come out, we're already ready. Foolishness is already bound up in the child in the womb, the Bible talks about. And so we have to understand when we come out, we're already ready. We're already sinners. And we know that God's grace has to come in. And we can look back over our life, and if we're not careful, we can discount certain parts of our life and say, well, that wasn't God. Really? There are certain things that God hates. God hates injustice. God hates sin. God could have no part in that. And there are certain things that God looks down and his heart breaks, but his love for us never changes. It is unconditional. And you can see the goodness of God in your life right now, how he has taken you from those tough times, healed you, and brought you to a place where you can stand in confidence and really accept who you are. Until you can accept your past, you'll never move on to your future. You never will. You'll stay stuck in what happened, and God says, I'm not in what happened. I'm in what is and what will be. So if you're not moving along with God, you are stuck back to where God has already freed you and delivered you from in your life. And we can get upset all we want about God. I found that in my life that the quicker I can move through my upsetness, the better it is for me. Because I'm able to move on and understand that his grace is sufficient and that he's sovereign. And I don't understand everything, and it's okay. But what I do know is that all things work together for good to them that love God, nor are called according to his purpose. Not some things. All things. You've got to get to the point in your life where you say, all things. And so thank you, God, that it's working for me. I don't see it. It's hard. It's okay. All things are working together. All things. And when you can say that with confidence, you will start to move through stuff. All things. And you won't be afraid about the things that have not yet happened. The things that you were thinking might happen in your life won't scare you. Because you already know that God's already in the future and that the unknown is his specialty. Oh, come on now. Sometimes we don't want to move forward because of what we went through in the past. And what it does is it hinders your faith walk. And instead of really experiencing the goodness of God and the joy that God wants to bring, we stay stuck and allow the enemy to keep us there. And the fact of the matter is that yesterday is already done with. Thank God that his grace is sufficient and that he's able to go back in my past and bring healing so that today I can be free.
That's right. Yeah.
That's just who God is. And so if we can understand that, we move quicker in our life. And let's just be really honest in here. If you're not in a position of your life where God wants you to be, God knows how to get you there. There are stories after stories in the Bible where God has allowed people to go through difficult and hard times in order for them to do the things that he wanted them to do. God is persistent, if nothing else. Because when God has placed a call on your life, it is irrevocable. Well, some people say, can God use somebody else? God can use someone else. Yes, he can. But I believe there are certain things that are specific to you that God has asked you to do in your life. You. When God asked Abram to get out of his country, it was specifically for Abram. Get out of your country. I want to do something different. Because when you do this, we're going to go to a place that I want to show you. And just look at the stars, man. That's going to be your descendants. We are here today because of Abram's obedience.
That's right.
So if you are in a position right now where you're saying, I don't really know what God has for me to do, I can tell you this, that you are in line for a break. I'm not talking about a new job. I'm not talking about, well, God's going to give me money. I'm saying in line for a break where God's going to allow a hard season to come in to break you. You don't want to hear it. Because he wants to fit you in the body. It's one thing to be in the body and just to be here. But God's not just about you being here. God's in the construction business where God wants to go to work so that he can fit you in the body and so that your experiences, your gifts, your talents will work for the body. Will work for the body. If my heart isn't working right, my body will not work right. And so when God comes in, he goes to work on my what? On my heart to make sure that my heart is right. Because when my heart is right, then the other things in my life have a tendency to follow. That's why the Bible says that guard your heart because out of it flow all the issues of life. And so God goes to work on the heart. You can do something really bad but have a good heart.
Yeah.
And God says, you know what? I love you. I love you. David was a perfect example. He messed up. But he loved God. God brought him back, restored him. He had issues the rest of his life he had to deal with. But nonetheless, God's love was still constant in his life. And so for you in your life, wherever you're at, if you've been wrestling with God and God's been trying to deal with you about certain things, it's probably for your benefit. Because God wants to break some things off of your life because he wants to fit you. He wants to fit you. And that's a hard place to be because it means that you are abdicating the rights to your life to him. And saying, God, I can't control this, only you can. And so when we do that, we give God access to us. And when we give God access to us, that means that we give God access to the things that he wants to do with us and through us. And oftentimes, if you're walking with God any length of time, you know it requires a breaking of what we want, a breaking of the will, so that God can bring healing and then place you. And think about your life right now. There are things in your life that you remember, but you don't remember them as you used to remember them. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because God has done so much in your life and brought so much healing in your life, the scar might be there. But God has allowed that to stay there so that you can effectively minister to where God is leading you to minister. God can't bring you into a place, a job, or church to minister if you feel like you've got it all together, because all you're going to do is just come in and mess it up. When God's getting ready to use someone, he takes them through the hard time, man. There are three things that God uses. This is a side note today. You can use this just free on your notes. Three things that God is really looks for when he's about to use somebody. And number one is spirituality. Is that person spiritual? Do they have a heart after me? Second thing is integrity. Do they do what they say? Are they a man of their word? The third thing is humility. Three things. You want to be used of God? That's your checklist right there. Spirituality, integrity, and humility. And even if you don't want to be used of God and God wants to use you, guess what? That's coming in your life. God's going to deal with that stuff because the work continues. The one thing that we have a hard time dealing with, and sometimes we forget, is that we're saved, but we are being saved. Being saved. So when God saves us, and some of us is in a church setting, it's a great experience. But for most Christians, they end up sitting here like this and coming in every week and enjoying the experience. Hey, I've been saved. It's good. How you doing? Newly saved. How you doing? What's your name? Saved. I'm saved. And they don't realize is that God wants to take that saved person and do a work in that saved person's life so that his purpose actually can start to flow through that person and so that he can actually use them. God doesn't just keep you the same. He wants to, how many of you can say, God has taken me through some stuff in my life and I'm not the same, and he has fitted me in some things in my life that I'm not used to wearing, but it was necessary for where he was taking me in my life. It was because he wasn't just going to throw you into it. He had to take you through seasons.
Right.
Seasons. And when God is ready, God will release you and bring you to the place where you need to be. But being in line for a break is a hard thing. I had a picture up here that I didn't get to show, but was it this year or last year? Missy's uncle, avid skier, 45 years, great, double black diamonds. Everybody knows black double black diamonds are fantastic. Hard. To ski, went up, and he was skiing, and he went down, hit a patch of ice, fell down, and broke the humerus on his left arm. Broken. Painful. He said that when he was in the doctor's office, he said, you ever see a grown man lift off a table? I came off the table, he said, because it was so painful. And I have the picture to show you, his arm was like, hit a patch of ice. Now, some would say, it's tragic. Yeah, it's tragic. You know what it's caused him to do now? He is now in the gym, rehabilitating that arm and working out 3 days a week, okay, in order to get that strengthened. And so that the next time he goes up, because he will, if you know anything about Uncle Mikey, he's crazy, he can go back up and do it again, okay? But the next time he goes back up, you best know that when he goes back up, what he's thinking about is that shoulder and that patch. Okay, so he's got two choices. I'm not going to do the things I used to do because of what could happen. Or I'm going to take what I learned from the last process and I'm going to continue to do what I feel like I'm good at and I'm passionate about, but just use wisdom. okay? So next time I see a patch of ice or whatever it is, okay, instead of falling that way, I might fall this way, okay? It doesn't stop the person, hear me, it does not stop the person from doing what they love. It gives them wisdom on how to proceed from here. Sometimes in our life, God will allow a break or something to happen, not to stop you from doing the things that you love, but to give you more wisdom on how to proceed effectively with it. You were a little, maybe you're a little more reckless, okay, but here's a little more wisdom, how to do this effectively and actually survive this thing. Yeah. Survive it. Because God wants you to last in life. So I appreciate your zeal, and God loves zeal, and He loves passion. But He allows things in our life as little setbacks to give us wisdom so that we can have wisdom and zeal working together to accomplish something. You understand what I'm saying? Too much zeal is not good. Yeah. Right? Too much zeal. Not enough zeal, we would call someone complacent, apathetic, they got no passion for their job. So God goes to work and says, we got to mix this stuff together. We got mercy. We've got grace and truth. We've got zeal. We've got wisdom. God's just cooking it all up. He's got a big bowl, and it's all on there. He's just mixing it up. And He's doing it in your life so that you can be well-rounded and more effective. So that you're not one over the other. One of the things that makes me laugh, and I've said this before to some of my friends, is that you got a lot of people who go to the gym, and they love working out the upper body, but they hate the lower body, and you can tell. They've got chicken legs, but up here they can't move. They're walking around like this. They got chicken legs. If they would just flip that and work on the lower body, because that's really what's more important, because that's what holds up here, that they would see a better result when they work out, and so they would be better balanced when they walk. And so it's the same way in our life. God says, well, He looks back as an artist and says, all right, I see your life. You're bloated here. You're bloated. I'm going to come in and blow that thing out so that it moves a little bit over to this side so that we can have a little bit more balance in your life. And so He goes to work on you. And some of us right now are being worked. We're being worked. It could be a habit. It could be an emotion that God is just trying to deal. And anytime God tries to go and really do a work in your life, the one thing that He really tries to exercise is those emotions. Sometimes those emotions get us in trouble, and God wants to get in there. And anytime God starts to do something in your life, the first thing that does react is our emotion. Mm-hmm. Correct? Mm-hmm. It's emotion. And you know, okay, well, that's something that maybe God wants to deal with in my life, because God wants me to be led by the Spirit, but I am a person who has feelings, and so my emotions dictate a lot of what I do in my life, but God goes in to deal with my emotion. A lot of times God will do something in your life, and it's hard and it's difficult, but He knows that if we can just get over the first reaction, we'll be better. We'll be better. And some of you guys have been doing stuff, and you're like, I don't want to do it because I'm afraid what the reaction is going to be. If you will just break and allow the reaction just to come out, I promise you, you'll start to make progress in your life. This is practical stuff for you to help you. For some, it's just a matter of letting it out. Letting it out. It's the thing that God wants to use just to break it up, so that you actually can start to breathe again. Now, how many of you have been in a situation before where you know God's been dealing with you, and you're like, man, if I don't get this out, I'm going to explode. And when you get it out, you feel better. It's like God allows you to deflate a little bit, and you can actually breathe and move on. It's God's way of actually squeezing what He needs to squeeze out of you so you can actually move on. And it's really not for His benefit. Yes, it's for your benefit. Mm-hmm. For your benefit. But that's who God is. I want to help, as we get ready to close, I want to help you guys just in this area a little bit, because I believe it's key, because the enemy can use it really to bring condemnation to you. If you think that you're not going to progress or get to the next place in your life without any outburst of the flesh, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel like you're something that you're not just because you're struggling through something and your flesh is reacting. Mm-hmm. If your flesh is reacting, it's an okay thing. Because that means that God is trying to do something by His Spirit to get that under control. And so that is something that God allows us to go through, and you don't have to walk in condemnation about that, because as a kid who's growing, that's what God is allowing you to go through in your life. You're reacting. And that process is going to go through the rest of your life. You're going to react in the flesh, and things are going to come out because God is doing something in you. And the first thing that wants to react is that flesh. So don't hold back just because you're trying to be spiritual. Don't hold back just because you're trying to be spiritual. What that means is that it's okay to be human and be used by God. It's okay to be human and allow God to do the work in your life as you're in progress so that you can be where you need to be. It's okay. It's okay. What's not okay is that if you continue to stay in that incubation period with God and you're continuing to do that same stuff, and God says it's time to move on, you know, the toddler stage, but you're still in the incubation stage. It's time to move on a little bit. And how many of you have God has really helped you see this as He's tried to push you on in different things in your life? It's time to move on, son. The pacifier is done. Take it out of your mouth. I've graduated you from that season. It's time to move on a little bit. And sometimes we don't want to go. We don't want to go because it was better here because God allowed our temper tantrums here.
That's good.
As you grow up, God doesn't allow those anymore. Because as you start to do it, immediately the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts it and says, "Nah, we're not a baby anymore. We're not a baby anymore." And so I believe God is trying to raise up His body and say, "Hey, listen, I love kids and you're my kids, but I really want my kids to grow up and to mature.
Yeah.
And so the things that you used to get away with anymore, you're not going to get away with anymore. I can't let you do that anymore. I love you too much. You graduated from that. I'm not going to let you go back to the second grade. You already passed it 6 times. Okay? You keep trying to go back to the second grade. We're not in the second grade. We've got to move on. Okay? Got to move on. Because I'm trying to fit you. I'm trying to get you ready. I'm doing things in your life. I'm taking the mallet and I'm banging things out of your life because I want you to be ready for what I have for you." And that's the hardest part for us, is because some of us would say, "Well, what does He have for me?" I don't know. A lot of times it's just a matter of us just being in position to receive it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a matter of just the little things. You know God's into the little things? Many times we look at the presentation and we're like, "Man, that was so great." Do you know what it takes to do this? Do you know the little things that it takes? That if those little things are not right, that the big things are not right? So people look at it and say, "Man, I just love the experience." It's not just an hour of experience on Sunday morning. It is hours of doing things beforehand and here, while you're here, so that the experience can actually go on. And so it's being faithful in the little things, because you know the little things matter and they make the big things a difference. And so if God is really dealing with you with little things, He's doing it for a reason, because He's saying, "Listen, these are the things that are going to separate you apart from everyone else. The little things. These are the things that people are going to say, 'I can't. Man, there's something about your workout. There's something about the way you handle things and go after things. There's something about your discipline. There's something about this.'" And that's the thing that really attracts people. I don't care if it looks great. I don't care if the presentation is great. It matters to me. But what I do care more is the fact, is somebody working? Are they in progress? Do they have the wherewithal just to jump in and say, "You know what? I'm going to learn it. It doesn't matter. I got untrained people back here. They're not trained sound people. Guess what? We're training them." Because it doesn't matter if you're polished. Do you have a heart? Just learn it and get in here early and learn it and find out where the cords are going and find out what's happening here and be investigative about it and say, "Okay, that's why." And learn things as you're doing it and be detail oriented, because when I see that, then I want to take that person and say, "Come on up here. Sit here." That's the type of person I want to do life with. That's the type of person I could be around. The type of person who has thick skin. And listen, And let's just be real. Who can get into this and not be offended easy? Because if you can be offended easy, you're not going to survive. If you can be offended easy in life, you won't survive. How much you come into the body of Christ, and there are different people of all different backgrounds and attitudes and moods who come in, and the enemy working overtime to try to get division in the church and say, okay, now put on a service, put on what's going on, glorify me in the midst of it. If you get offended by that stuff, it's going to be hard to last in what God wants to use you in. Because it always involves people in some way. And so if God is raising you up in a position of leadership and doing a work in your heart, it's for a reason. Ellen, be a little bit more disciplined with your I's and your T's. Yes, Lord. She's the teacher. Okay? Because when God comes in, He's not about, oh, the show.
Yeah, that's right.
What He's looking at is what's happening in that person's life.
Yeah.
Man, they're working. Man, I see them diligently working. They're fighting through things. That's what God's looking for. Because then God can trust that person with the hard stuff. Don't think for a moment that God does not see you where you are right now.
That's right.
One of His names is Elroy, the God who sees. Don't you think for a moment that God does not see where you are right now, and He does not know what's happening, what's going on. He is faithful, and He understands the struggle and what you're trying to accomplish in your life. And He understands the vision that He has placed inside of you and what you are trying to. He understands that you're trying to get up. He understands that you're trying to work it all out and that you have this concept in your life. He understands that. He understands, and there are things happening in your life that you don't understand, that He's doing behind the scenes, and all of a sudden God will just throw up and say, whoa, I didn't see that, but yeah, I'm working on that too. Thanks, God. Back at it. That's what He's doing. He sees. And He will promote when He sees that you're ready. Because the same disciplines that you have on this level, you're going to have when you come up here. So that's why when the Bible talks about promotion, doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from the Lord. God's the only one who knows how to promote, because He knows when you're ready. And He knows that He sees, okay, they've got the discipline to be able to handle promotion. That's why you're in it. You feel like you're in it all the time. And in reality, you are in it all the time. Because God is constantly forming and shaping and changing and refitting and doing things in your life for the next thing in your life. And we all want to be promoted. We all want things. We all want to be successful. People want to grow. But it starts in the little things. And so the question is, where do you fit? Where do you fit? And ask the Lord, God, what are my skills? What are my talents? Where do you want me to use them? And I'm not looking for, He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for a willingness to say, yes, I will help and get in. And guess what? He knows how to give you the grace once you get in to help you fix things, to help you learn things. It's not a matter of, well, I got to get it before I get in. No. The way God does it is He takes it. I have somebody to throw. I got nobody to throw here. Okay. He takes someone. Come with me, Kaden. I love you. Okay. He takes it and says, all right, son, do you trust me?
Yeah.
Good. Get in there. Throws you in. Use what I give you. You're trying not to learn on the job. God says, no, I want you to learn on the job. That's how it works. Because if you would wait till you learned it, you'd never get it. Because it comes with the actual doing. The learning comes in. My daughter loves to be thrown. Every time I go on the pole, Daddy, throw me. Daddy, throw me. I throw as far as I can. Daddy, she loves it. And when I get in the pool, sometimes I go slow. Because the chillers are on. But the girls like to come in the back and try to push me in. Because they're already in, having a good time. Don't push me in. I'm not ready yet. But finally I get to the pool. I just got to get in. It's going to be cold. It doesn't matter. Get in. Because after a few minutes, I'm fine. It's the same way with us. You're trying to go down these steps. You're like, you see it. God's like, why don't you just jump in? Go in. I'm going slow, Lord. Don't push me. I'm going at my own pace. And finally, you know what? God says, I'm tired of this. Because he knows once you get in, it's going to be okay. Some of us have been pushed in. We've had experiences in our life where we felt like we were pushed, maybe not by our own will, to do things. And we look back at that experience and say, I don't want to be pushed again because I felt like I was out of control. I felt like I couldn't handle it. And that experience has nothing to do with what God wants to do in your life. It could be a deterrent. There have probably been some areas of your life where you've been misused, you've been abused on your job, whatever it is. But don't let those experiences hold you back from allowing God to push you into where he wants you to go. Because I got news for you. God is moving. He's moving. He's doing things. And his constant heart toward us is forward. It's forward. Sometimes we take a step back. God brings healing into our life. Emotional healing, I get it and understand it. But never to reside there. But to move forward. Move forward. Let's all stand on our feet. Bible never said anything about Abram looking back. Almost immediately, he got up, took his family, said, "We're out." What is God asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? Well, I'm afraid what's going to cost me. That's valid. It's valid. But that can also be the thing that holds you back from walking in your destiny. It cost Jesus everything. And for us, we think, well, it's going to cost me less. Is it going to cost you less? Your life is now his. It's not yours. Well, yeah. But it's worth it. Lord, where do I fit? I know where you fit. If you give me your life and continue to give me access, I'll place you where you need to go. But you got to trust me. And it may not look the way you want it to look, but you'll trust me and I'll bring you to the place that you need to be. How many of you have the heart and say, God, I want to I want to fit. Well, wherever it is, I just want to fit. I don't have to fit in with people, but I just want to fit wherever you got for me. Father, I thank you for the heart of everyone in here. I thank you for the hands raised. God, those that have been through hard times, difficulty, issues. God, those that have come back from trauma. God, those who are healing even right now. God, I pray that you would give them just a heart and a desire to draw near to you. God, to want more of you. God, to be fitted and to fit where you have for them. God, I pray as they continue to walk with you in those times where they feel like they can't give you what you want or asking, I pray that you give them the strength to do it. God, help push them in. Surround them with people, God, who are ahead of them. Surround them with people who are for them, who want to see them succeed. And God, that you would give people the grace they need to continue to walk where you've called them to walk. I thank you, God, for a body and a church who is alive in you. I think God, I thank you for a church who is taking ground. I thank you, God, for a people who want more of you. I thank you, God, for the work that is ongoing and continuous in our life. Thank you, God, that the best is yet to come in our life. Help us, God, to continue to move in you. Give us the strength to continue to stand in and fight in the process. To continue to stand and fight in the process. To know that the best is yet to come. That the other side, whatever's on the other side, is worth it. It's worth it. God, you said, blessed are those who persevere in a trial. Blessed are those. Happy are those. Blessed. Those that get through it and on the other side. Thank you, God, that on the other side there's happiness, there's joy, there's peace. And that we will leave here today with anticipation to know that our best days are ahead and that we can trust you because you're a good God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a praise offering.